Father in heaven, we thank you again for this morning, for the wonderful songs that you laid on people's heart to write and be able to give the talent to sing, and in turn remind us exactly who we are and who you are and how much we need you in this life until you called us through the exodus of death or through the rapture, and trust that we'll do our best in time to get as many to see you as the Lamb of God as we can. And we ask you to bless this morning now on this subject as we try our best to be informative to some people today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I'd like to take your Bible and turn with me to Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to do something a little different routine this morning. Most of the time in the morning service, we have evangelistic type messages, and I guess this would be that, but this is to answer a question. I debated in the past couple of weeks as I finished up. This question was given back. Of course, you've heard this question many times asked, but I asked about it a little over a year ago from people in our church on Wednesday night. They would think of subjects they'd like to have studied out and present a message around that subject, and they'd give us a number of subjects, and I've done it, but this is one that I generally do these on Sunday night because all the churches are in here then on Sunday night, and most of those who are here, it's family, and when I say church family, and we try to give something in turn, be informal to them. But the subject says this week led. I just had me to switch them, and I felt very much to switch because I thought this question that was asked has been asked many times. I'm sure if you try to win someone to the Lord, or if you talk to someone about the Lord, if you try just to be a friend to someone and talk to them, they probably would ask you this question. It seems like Satan has this question to be asked more than anyone else, to try to sidetrack someone who wants to talk to someone about the Lord, especially if they're interested in trying to win that person to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know if I'd be interested in it. I bet that if you have not been interested in it, I bet you have been interested in it, if you didn't pay much mind to it, and I hope the day that God will help us put it together. I've done a lot of study on this, more so than ever before. I thought I had the answer, and I think I had the answer before, but this time I put a lot of study into it, to trip from a biblical standpoint. See, I believe that everything you and I face, every question we have, there's an answer in this book if we have a question. It may not be precise, but God has given us enough information that if you study it, you'll find out it's in there. There's some things he tells us precise. He tells us you must be born again. Hey, you can't get around that. John 3, Jesus said that. But there's some things in the scripture that take study that we may put it together to know it's a fact and have an answer that why God does certain things. Sometimes people think God is a tyrant in heaven. He's trying his best just to make us do what he wants to do. He could do that if he wanted to. Ladies and gentlemen, we couldn't do a thing about it. But God gives us a will, and he shows us that he loves us so much that there's a lot of things he does at one time, and he might change it at another time because it benefits man. Sin has caused us a tremendous problem. Sin is one of the reasons we have all the problems we have. I don't care where you're at, emotionally, psychologically, physically, sickness, whatever it is, sin brought that on us. By the way, you understand that, don't you, as far as the human race? So sin caused a lot of things at times where it may not have affected in the early years of Adam and Eve as it would later. And some things that God gave is an interesting thought to study because he gave because what sin had done to people after years. For instance, Adam and Eve, certainly Adam, in the early since it was Adam's time, people lived about 1,000 years old. Adam lived 930 years old. And there's a lot of things that happened 930 years. You're not going to make it, by the way. Did I blow your bubble? You and I are not going to make 930 years. Not here, let's put it that way. But I tell you one thing, we're going to live a lot longer where we're headed. Amen. And thank God for that. So here, I want you to look at me, verse 17 of chapter 4, and notice, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of that city after the name of his son Enoch. Now, interesting, Cain had a wife, right? Who was it? That's the question people asked. Where did Cain get his wife? And they have reasons today because of things that we grew up in and see and been handed down to not understand when we talk about where we say the Bible seems to indicate it comes from, and that's where I'm going to show you this day. Now, if you go back with me in Genesis chapter 1, you'll find out how God did brought this about. I've got to hurry because time gets behind so much here. They get you out by 12:30. I've got to hurry. Oh, that's all there's to it. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, you'll see that God sets forth this story about in verse 26, 27, 28. I'm not going to read that. Just paraphrase it real fast for you. That he's going to create man after his likeness. And so he, verse 27, so he created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now keep in mind, we're talking about both of these now, be Adam and Eve. And we'll look at that as he names her later. But at this time, he says he created male and female. After his likeness, God created man in his own image. We understand that. No need to discuss that in this place. He created male and female. In other words, he created male, and then he created female. The fe set forth the opposite of what male is. And I won't go into further as you can go deeper, but fact is, we know that there's a difference between a male and a female. Let me say that again. There's a difference between a male and a female. Every way you turn, there's a difference in that. And so when we look at these two, he's who he's talking to. And then in verse 28, he said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them. Now watch, he blessed them, male and female. Amen? Come on now. I'll stay here all day if I have to. You got to get that. He blessed them, watch, and he said unto them, male and female. Bless, watch, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And to do it, have dominion over it and the fish and so forth, that is, bring it under control. In other words, he said to this couple, you bring that you are to reproduce on the earth. Now, male and female were made to fit together for the purpose of reproduction. And, of course, we see that in verse 28 when he said this about replenishing the earth. Now, keep in mind the command of God to these two that he's made to replenish the earth. What does that mean? It means to have children like God created them for the purpose of replenishing the earth. Now, it's a known fact that Adam and Eve couldn't live long enough to replenish the earth. So we've been here now 6,000 years later. But the process through procreation could, and that's how God set it up. So he says, you replenish the earth, and now down through the years, we are direct products through procreation of Adam and Eve's beginning by being born through natural birth. Get in your mind, and it helps you later as we go through this. Now, when I look at this and I understand what God is saying, I can't deviate from this later just because I can't find something to find out in this particular case who his wife is, because he doesn't tell us. He just said he had a wife, and we know he had children because he tells us he had a son that was here. Now, you go back again, and you look at me. I'll go over with me, if you will. You look with me over in Genesis chapter 3, and you'll see that God says this down about verse 20. After God made Adam, and then he made Eve from Adam, you understand that from his rib, and Adam called his wife named Eve. Why did he call her that? Because she was the mother of all living. That means she was the life-giving of life from her for everyone that's ever been born. Isn't that right? For everyone that's been born. Now, if you want to understand about Adam, we go over and look in 1 Corinthians with me, and the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and Paul is talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, quickly hit this, and he says in verse 43, talking about the spiritual body, spiritual world, and the natural world, and he talks about that when the resurrection of the dead is sown corruption, it's raised incorruption. He said it's sown dishonor, it's raised in glory, and so forth. Verse 44, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Verse 45, one which is zero in, and so it is written. I love that. God says it is written. Paul says it is written. It is written. It's documented. So you can understand this. It's true. The first man, Adam, was what? A living soul. The last Adam was a quickened spirit. The last Adam, go back to verse 23, verse 22, he's talking about Jesus Christ. So we know that the first man, Adam, was the only one that we see God made for the purpose of reproducing to replenish this earth. Howbeit, then he said, was the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. Now, you go back to the Garden of Eden, and when you see Adam and Eve born, there's only four beings that's in the Garden of Eden. Adam, Eve, God, and who? The serpent, Satan. That's only four that's there. So there's no one else in that environment except them. The only one we're concerned about is God, Adam, and Eve right now. Because at the time they were created, the serpent wasn't there until later when he tempted Adam and Eve. So when I go back and I begin to look at these things, I want to start out with what the questions are and then answer those questions as near as I can. And I believe with the process of elimination, God will show that his book overrides most of what people say if they leave out the fact that Adam and Eve's children had to intermarry down the first few centuries to do what God said do. But why would God change it later? We're going to look at that. And the scripture is very plain, I think. The question number one, did God create another woman besides Adam and Eve? Well, search the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, and at the beginning, there's no record that God ever did that. There's no record. Hey, you can't just, well, I suppose, I just suppose they do, or I will kind of, it's just obvious because of what incest is, and that's the word we'll be looking at, incest is today. But on the other hand, there's no record of that. Did Cain marry a fallen angel or one of his relatives? Had to be one or the other. He had got to either create someone else or the angels that had failed or his relatives. Well, it's known fact. The scriptures tells us, Jesus said, angels don't have the way to have children. There is no intimate relationship, no sexual relationship with angels. Then we come back to the fact that we understand, though, that in this body, they pick up that some of these people know a little about, read the Bible where they looked at, and they say, well, if he did marry his own, does not the Bible preach against incest? Yes. Well, preacher, how in the world can you say he may have married a relative? Is that incest? Today it is. Well, if that be the case, does the Bible preach against incest? Yes, it does. But the timing element, as God deals with it, does. These are all great questions to ponder when you're looking for an answer. But the first mention of Cain's wife occurs here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. But the Bible never reveals where Cain got his wife, not even what his wife's name was. Look it up. You can spend the rest of your life. You'll never find this thing in there. So God has got some reason why we are to search some things and let the Holy Spirit help us understand things while the world goes wild and don't understand it. They're going to believe a lie anyhow. So he goes on. And so here we see, you can see that Cain's wife mentioned in the scripture has caused great confusion among Christians. How can we have incest at one time and not have incest at another time? Well, we'll see that as God develops through the ages. When we see this, the issue of Cain's wife is still one of the most common questions that people ask. Who was she? I don't know how many times in the last 56 years that I've been serving God, I've been asked that question. If you go knock on the door somewhere or another and try to win some of the Lord, more than likely you won't be many times someone won't ask, well, who's Cain's wife? Because they know when you throw that out, you can't answer. They all have preconceived ideas, and therefore your answer is not going to be what they say anyhow. You have to look at it through the study of God's Word. And why have so many believers struggle to live to give a biblical answer on this inquiry? No information about Cain's wife is given before Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. Nothing there at all you can find. This verse follows right after Cain is cursed by God and leaves to settle in the land of Nod, east of Eden, which you see in Genesis 4, verse 11 and verse 16. And so since the Bible is silent on the origins of Cain's wife, we only are able to speculate by limitation, eliminating things in this life that, whereas you know, you could eliminate because God gives us some scenario around what he said. First of all, the first thing that got me when I got back studying this time was God said to Adam and Eve, you replenish the earth. Now, how could that be done? Unless someone in the immediate time, when there was no such a thing in the sense that where sin had destroyed the body and brought about things like it can today, if God didn't say it had to be done that way. And so I look and I see the most expert explanation for where Cain got his wife was that she was his sister or maybe a niece. Now, there are a couple of alternatives that have been put forth. Let's look at them. But a sister or a niece seems to be the most widely supported idea among Christians if they study the Bible in depth. And I've looked a number of different ways people have studied, and I've studied my way, and it seems like no matter every time you come out just what I'm presenting today, at least most of the time. Only 2 points in this. Where did Cain get his wife? Number one is this. There are 3 most common theories for where Cain got his wife. Most common. There may be some more, but this is most. The first one is this. Was Cain's wife a fallen angel? We'll try to answer that. We know that when Satan rebelled against God, that he took one-third of the angel of heaven with him. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 4, the Bible tells us that. Some speculate also in Genesis chapter 6, that flood, when you talk about the relationship between fallen angels and people in physical bodies. Here, some speculate that Nephilim, which is the giants that were produced at that time, offsprings of God and daughters of men, they say that this is where it happened at. But that can't be proven either. No way that can be proven there. They were giants of the land also in Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. And so in Genesis, they referred to, could this refer to fallen angels that had sexual intercourse with mankind? In Genesis 6, 4 through 5 is what that asks. But these verses are unclear whether fallen angels have that capability to even procreate in physical bodies. On the other hand, I could say this from my standpoint and your standpoint. The only reason you and I are able to procreate from Adam's day is because of the physical body. Your soul and spirit has nothing to do but give you life in this body. So we're tabernacling in this body. You didn't know that? This is your home while you're here. You said, I thought I lived on 3rd Street down the street. No, this is your real home. I mean, you're here all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when it comes to procreation, it's obvious. It's not the soul and spirit. It's the life of this body. But those relationships are physical relationships. And God set it in motion for the purpose of reproduction down through the ages. So I can all agree with someone and say, well, if an angel comes down and dwells somebody, and by the way, demons can dwell. They were in man in Gadara one day, and Jesus cast them out, and they'd rather get in an animal thinking to control him. The animal had more sense than man did. The animal went ahead and killed himself. But here, you see, so that where they went, demons have to dwell somewhere or another, and they do most what they do in some type of being or beast or an animal. So if by chance, hypothetically, if an angel came and indwell an individual, then it wouldn't be the angel itself. It would be the individual itself, even though there might be power behind that. But that's hypothetical. I just put that out there for these people to show that I'm not negated that or not try to do away with that, but it don't make sense because there's no way in this world that you find that something could happen in Adam's descendants if it happened that way. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. So nowhere in this verse does such verses support the notion of Cain marrying a fallen angel at any time. You can't find that anywhere in the scriptures to say, per se, that it's so. Now, question two. Was Cain's wife another woman created by God after Adam and Eve? You can't find that either. You can't find nobody else created by the hand of God like he created Eve. Everybody else through procreation from Adam and Eve. This notion is not supported by the scriptures. The Bible clearly teaches that Eve was the first woman, and that Adam was that Adam even named her Eve, which means the mother of all living, Genesis 1:27, also 3:20, Genesis 3:20. That means she is the life giver of all that have been born, and therefore the process that God set up through procreation gives every person down the ages, if the genetic system is okay, the body, and there's no physical problems that would hinder that, there can have birth so that we would be what God said to do. The Bible never suggests that God created another woman, another being, for Cain or Seth or Abel to take his wife. In fact, all descendants came from them up until the time that Noah, and after the flood, all the future generations came from Noah and his family. 1 Peter 1:3:20 tells us that, and also you see in Genesis 7, verse 7. So we know this, that when you go back, some people say, well, I just don't see how that would happen. But let me give you something else. When the flood came, the only thing was left to replenish the earth was Noah and his family. Well, what happened there? Well, evidently God didn't have this thing of incest at that time because they all started over again through eight people. So that should throw a cog in anyone who believes it happened in Adam's day that there was incest, because God never, you can't find. Listen, did you start in Genesis and go up to Moses' time? It's 2,500 years, you never find God mentions incest one time. Not one time. And so he gives us some understanding about this. But today, it's a terrible sin today because of what it does. So what I'm saying to you, that the most common held belief among Christians is that Cain's wife was one of his relatives, possibly one of his sisters. By the way, 930 years old, and you were born at maybe the 30th year of Adam and Eve's life. By the time you got to 930 years old, you probably didn't know some of your siblings. Let me ask you this. How many siblings did you know that's born in your family 200 years ago? Aren't you glad God's in charge of things? We mess it up, but he's in charge of it. So I go and I begin to see that the Bible doesn't list a complete account of the order of names of Adam and his children. But it does say that they had sons and daughters in Genesis chapter 5, verse 4. So they were doing what God said, do. The simple answer is that Cain married his sister or another close relative like a niece. Now, this answer sounds revolting for us today who grow up and years pass in a society that has attached a stigma to such an idea. And by the way, it is a gross sin for incest today, ladies and gentlemen, because it is against even what God gave in Moses' day of the law. And he gave the law to protect innocent and protect people from future diseases they would have otherwise if they kept it up, do what sin has done to us. And watch when we go through this, and you understand it more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, it tells us that Adam was the first man. In Genesis 3:20, it states that Eve was the mother of all living. Now, listen carefully. In Genesis 5:4, Adam and Eve had other children after Cain and Abel. In Acts 17:26, over 4,000 years later, God said this through the writer. It states that we as a human race are all one blood. Now, we may have different types of blood, but I'll tell you this. If you live, you've got to have blood flowing through your body. And it's got to come from somewhere or another. And the best blood that anyone can get is somebody else's blood if they're given. If you need blood. So the blood is, again, is the life of the flesh. The blood is the life of the flesh. And so we need blood. And in Acts, hid away in that scripture, Paul's writing to talking to the people at Mars Hills. He talks and reveals to them this wonderful story that all of us are one blood. That's the reason if I need blood, and Brother Ken would say, you know, my type's the senior blood, and give me blood, it'll work for me just as good as his body if it's the same type. So that tells me then he couldn't make another being by the hand of God and give it a system that would work because there's no way, probably, that what, you say, well, God could do it. He could, but that's where he don't show us. There's no way his blood would work in somebody else or whatever God used to sustain that. I don't know what the glorified body is going to be run on, but it's not going to be physical blood. God tells us that. And so when I look through this, I see, and by the way, I say again, this is for information. This should help the child of God who wants to really do something for the Lord so you at least can have an angle of that. Say, oh, I've said it, give me some time, I can tell you a little bit about it. So you can tell someone about Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, if God had made others that did not come from Adam and Eve, hear me now closely. If he made others that did not come from Adam and Eve, those people would not have been able to be saved from their sins from Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ came through a body that was prepared through procreation from Adam on Mary's side. God's side was the seed that brought about the purity and the holiness, but her side was the body that was the incubator for Christ to be born. Jesus left the throne of glory and came to a manger. Why? Because he loved you and I. That's right. Jesus left for me worship of angels and treated beyond anything you and I could ever think of. And come and men with wicked hands cruelly put him to a cross in God's divine providence. Why? Because he loved you and I. And he's not afraid to call his brethren. So these people would not have been able to be saved from their sins if that situation is. Since only the sins of Adam could be saved, this is why Jesus Christ had to be Adam's descendant so he could fall in line to be able to redeem us, be one as us as a man, but the man that's God who became man, Emmanuel, so he could do what God required to do, which we and I could not do. That helps me understand why God did what he did as I get to it. So these theories mentioned seem to be false. That's the second question quickly. Notice, God's Cain most likely married his sister. Now, how and why would I say this? Follow me closely. God commanded to be fruitful and multiply. He had not yet given the command against a sister or a relative when he said that in Genesis 1:28. Surely he knew that their children would be forced to marry each other to continue the process of reproducing. Because God commanded Adam to do that. How could it happen unless that take place? You think God said he didn't? Oh, boy, I made a mistake. No, sorry. He knew that when Adam and Eve had some children and the other children came and others came, within a period of time to do what God said do, they're going to have to find some way to get together to reproduce. Now, when I see that, I begin to analyze and go from a different place that God is right and what he says, there comes a timing of everything. This forbidden didn't happen until Moses came time when the genetic makeup of man was clearly different at this time due to the old age and the patriarchs and the ability to procreate close relationship without severe birth defects. This was when God gave the law. It was 2,500 years later after Adam and Eve. Now I can go back and I can show you. Question is this. Does not the Bible forbid marriage between close relatives? Yes. Well, preacher, how can you say yes and be yes? Because it sounds contradictory. Well, if you listen to me, what I believe God revealed this thing. Keep in mind, the laws against marrying family members were initially given as part of the Mosaic covenant approximately 2,500 years after God created Adam and Eve. If you don't believe it, go to Leviticus chapter 28, verse 6 through 18, Leviticus 20, 17, Deuteronomy 27, 22 through 23, and read those. It'll be enough to give you that, and then there's others you're going to follow even more. Due in part to genetic mistakes, these laws were necessary to help protect offspring from mutation shared by both parents. Before God gave the law, it was just people marrying close relatives. Now, preacher, wait a minute. How can you prove that? Christians today should not marry close relatives, such as siblings, as we now live under a different moral law for health reason, if they know it. Some people have done it and didn't know it. That's one thing. But then, if this is a thing, because there are problems when that happens. Man's genetic makeup will not allow for those close reproduction capabilities without a high risk of high defects and retardation. That's all there is to it. God must have had a good reason to change the genetic makeup of man and shorten his lifespan. Because time you get down to Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, he had moved it from almost 1,000 years to about 120 years. And that's just a few hundred years there. The consequence of sin due to the fall of man ensured that at some point in time, man would be less able to fight off his disease in life due to birth defects. And by the way, they didn't have all the modern-day equipment we have today to fight diseases. And so this is perhaps the reason why, as to why God forbade those marriages in the time of Moses, but seemingly allowed marrying one siblings during the time of Adam and Eve. Now, as a close, think with me closely, and I'm going to put a cap on it. It is certain that God forbid married siblings in Leviticus 18, verse 6, and these verses I just gave you. This was no doubt due to the birth defects that began to be at a high rate. Christians should obey and still obey this command knowingly, because it can lead to disaster. Believe me, there's records after records after records. Sin affects us, and it's already in us, and it's the nature, and it's passed from one generation, certainly by the man to one to another, and therefore there's things that are happening in certain genetic lines that if it crosses over, it can double faster if something is wrong. You think God didn't see that? The Bible makes it clear that before the fall, a man's genetic makeup was much different regarding birth defects. The number one thing is this. Human beings did not die before Adam and Eve failed, or before they failed, before they sinned. And that had you say, well, no, they won't not. But Adam and Eve would not have died had they not sinned. So therefore, they had a genetic pure body with no disease. There's no way they'd have died. If they had obeyed God, then there would have been no such a thing as death. Because God put death on the fact that they disobey him. And they disobey him. Even after the fall, people lived for a long time, up to 900 years or more. Adam, I said, was 930 years old. Go to Genesis 5:5, you'll see that. But watch. In the early years, you see in Genesis, and the first 2,500 years before the law was given, listen to me, even Abraham and Sarah were half-brother and half-sister when they got married. Go to Genesis 20:12. How's that? They had the same father, but they had a different mother. Isaac married Rebekah, the daughter of her cousin, or his cousin, in Genesis 24:15-67. This was part of the family. Jacob married his cousin Leah and Rachel. And this has happened all through in those first 2,000 so years to replenish the earth. It's very clear that the Bible did not forbid the marriage of close relatives at that time. If had, God would have stepped in beforehand. He did step in, didn't he? It's very clear that when we start with the scriptures, it's easy to see who Cain's wife was scripturally, or we'll presume in some other form. God's word was the answer to this question, and so many others like it. We just need to trust what he has revealed. More than likely, a person who won't believe what the scriptures, what they can find about subjects like this, won't even believe subjects when Jesus said, you must be born again. What do I need to be born again about? Because all have sinned. What do you mean sin? I think I'm a pretty good feller. You know, it's the worst sinner in the world can justify. These people sitting in penitentiary, the worst sinner in the world could justify why they think they still have some goodness. I need a blow trumpet or something. I don't know what's going on. I say this for information. At least I've done what I know the Lord's had done, because I know what I'm telling you is as much truth as John 3:16. God is not a wishy-washy God. He plans. Things don't happen just haphazard. He doesn't come along and plan, oh boy, I messed up there. What can I do? I'm going to have to change this thing around. No, sir. Everything was predetermined before the beginning of time. He knew everything. He knows your heart. By the way, he knows your heart right now. He knows when you're going to die. He knows how you're going to die. He knows when it'll be. He knows it all. He's God. He knows when I'm going to die. Where? When? All of those things. And I see that, and I understand now a little bit more. Now, since Adam and Eve were by God to start with, made by God to start with no sin, they had no abnormalities. He was as pure as could be, and had not sin come in and brought about, because death couldn't have come to him unless he disobeyed God. That's when sin operated in him, disobedience. Yet at the same time, by the time of Moses, 2,500 years later, the human code had become polluted so bad where close relatives in marriage were no longer safe, because the admiralities would come in that where people had been born dead or crippled or problems in life because of genetic situations. And we even have that today in regular life. But you know the reason why? Sin, listen, ladies and gentlemen, sin personifies itself if it's not checked. And the result of sin personifies itself if it's not checked. And we live in an age today where people have adjusted to what sin is, and they call it everything else but sin. And therefore, they don't feel guilt before God. God calls things sin. We got plenty of medical terms we can use about things, and therefore it don't move us much because we adjusted to what others believe and fail to listen to what God has to say as far as his word is concerned. So sexual relationships must be viewed differently, watch me now, between pre-law and post-law. We're living in post-law. And so it came down to Moses' time, and Israel going into the land, and it's now Sinai. God said, listen. It's time to understand. And you go read, you read Leviticus. It's time to understand. Now, listen, don't you look on the man's, your mother's nakedness, and don't look on the dad's nakedness. Don't you look on the children's nakedness. Don't you do? He goes through all of that because those are things that drives a sex relation. And he says this, that because if you do, there's a terrible sin on that. There's a terrible penalty for that. And because of that, today we learn it to be as incest. And it was actually given to Israel at the time of the law. And it was before pre-law, he never said anything about it. It seems that for some reason God allowed it, but he saw what was coming. He loved man so much, he said, now, when I give the law to Israel going in that land, it's a new thing. They started a new nation, they had a new day, a new calendar, everything was new. And he said, you don't do this. If you continue this on, it's going to be so bad after a while, you're going to have a lot of problems. And by the way, look at our day. We have the best medical research that we have today, and we have more problems in medical than ever been in man's history. And so I see, incest became incest when God forbid family sexual relationships by law through Moses. If you go to Leviticus 18, 6 through 18, Leviticus 20, 17, Deuteronomy 27, 22, 23, it'll give you the bulk of that and then lead to other places. So ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. God's word gives us the answers for us who want it. Make me understand. Somebody said, well, I can't see. God changes his mind. Listen, God don't have to change his mind just to change a situation. God over here looked down even before he made Adam and Eve. He gave a command and said, go ahead and do it. He didn't put no stipulations about relationships anywhere. He said, replenish the earth. But when it came down, and he had to destroy the earth one time, and then you go back into, this is what amazes me, anybody who would believe that this earth was destroyed by water in the flood would have to understand, though he started with Adam and Eve, now you get to the flood, you come out of the flood on this side, and every one of us now are descendants of someone through Adam, through Noah. We're big, but it's wide coming up to the flood. But after the flood, boy, where we're on this side, we trace back. We get back to Adam, you're going to go back through Noah and his family in the flood somewhere or another. Because they're the ones that were left when he destroyed the earth, you see. So I say to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, listen, God loves us so much. Think what he did. You think that God don't know you and I? You know what, ladies and gentlemen, let me say something to you this morning. Sometimes people say, I'd love to hear Lord Jesus teach. I would too, but I'm going to tell you what he'd do. You know what? If Christ was here right now teaching you and I, you know what he'd be doing? He wouldn't be just scattering things. He'd be talking things that's in your heart. He'd say, I know you. You got a problem. I know what it is. And he'd tell you how to deal with it. Oh, I know you. Yours is different than theirs, but there's a problem. I see your heart. I see your heart. He could perceive our heart. And I'm going to teach you exactly what you need to know. This person may not, they have to wait. But as he taught, come over here, it could be a lost child. It could be sin in their life. It could be, you know, a problem of sickness. It could be cancer. It could be a wayward child. I know your heart. I know your heart. I see it. And I'm not going to waste my time just talking in general. Everything he spoke, he deal with specifics. Now, that's when he tells us, when we come along, we have the seed. He says, you scattered the seed. And I still deal with specifics. You know, you'd be surprised the thing I get blamed by, it won't me at all. You'd be surprised the things that you get blamed if you teach the class and not you at all. It's God taking that seed and touching a heart that he's in need. Someone said, well, she must know something. No, that's not it at all. Don't have to. I believe this book. I believe God is so much in love with us, loves us so much, that he does everything in his power other than burglarize our will to get us to believe him. And a lot of folks going to hell, but he won't burglarize our will. Somebody says sometimes, well, it looks like God can make, yeah, God can make us do anything he wanted to. Let me ask you something. And I'm through. I'll give you information today. Ladies and gentlemen, if God would burglarize our will now and make us believe in Christ to go to heaven, I believe when we got there, we'd run the place. Because the will don't have nothing to do with this body. My will has to do with how I bring this body in subjection. My soul and spirit's going. And without a new creation, it's just as bad there as it would be here. Can you not see God's a wonderful God? Look what he's done. Look what he's done. And so what he's saying is this. When we get there, he's not going to let this go. Why? The soul and spirit has been made new, a new creation. And he's going to put it in the glorified body. So there when we get there. But if you take a depraved person and put it in anything, it's still depraved unless God has made it new. And yet people don't believe that. Would you stand to your feet, please? Father, this book is precious, Lord. Please honor it today. I do this, Lord, because somebody lists that, and a number of people in the last year have mentioned things like that. And I've never done this on Sunday morning like this, but I believe the day, I don't know why, even early this morning, Lord, 3:30, you, and praying about this, what to preach tonight, it switched around, because tonight has to do a little different subject. And just seemed like that's something that the study should benefit some people, especially God's people, and anyone else to see that God knows what he's doing, and he works things out. It's like people saying, Lord, it seems like God changed his mind from the old covenant to the new covenant. No, God made the new covenant better than the old covenant. And that's what God did. God made a system showing to Israel as a nation, starting her out as a spokesman for God, as a new nation. Lord made her to represent God and have a system where she could be right with God as long as she obeyed that system. God didn't all of a sudden say that man just got so wicked. In Genesis 6, Lord, when you had to destroy the earth except Noah and his family, you didn't all of a sudden say, things are happening like I never thought would happen. Lord, from the beginning, you knew that day would come. You had a system. And when we get to heaven and one day go back, and if you let us see anything of archives in this life, we're going to be amazed when we see what you've done to bring us where you're going to take us. Father, help someone this morning to see how much you love them. Help someone today, Father, to see you've not left us ignorant. Our minds sometimes are weak and can't comprehend things, Lord, because it's so hard to study. My wife knows it's wearisome. So many things we can't do because I got my head in this book. Other people live in this world and enjoy life, and Lord, I enjoy life for you, but you just can't do a lot of things and stay away from this book. It's the Holy Spirit of God that draws us to it. Please help someone to see Jesus today in a way they've never seen him before. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.